You're listening to Central Time. I'm Jean Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, it's our Teach Me What You Know segment. Today, a lesson in how to start your own podcast.
But first, we're taking a look at a new poll from NPR, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the Harvard School of Public Health. They asked more than 2,500 adults from around the country about how stressed they are and what's causing them stress and how they're dealing with their stress.
The poll found that almost half of all Americans experienced a major stress event in the last year. One of the most common causes of stress is health-related problems.
Frank Farley is with us to break down the information from this poll. He is a psychologist at Temple University and the former president of the American Psychological Association. Frank, welcome back to Central Time.
I'm delighted to be here, Gene and Veronica.
I'd like to start out with the basics. Why undertake a study like this now? I think all of us think that we're under stress, but hasn't stress existed forever?
Yes, it has. But, it's like sort of taking the temperature, the sort of emotional and motivational temperature of the nation, and it's probably a good thing to do every once in a while. You know, we do that for our own health reasons when we go see our physician. And I think at the national level, it's probably a good thing to do every now and then.
So tell me about that emotional temperature right now. How stressed are we?
Pretty stressed. We don't know whether it's going up or down. There's another annual poll conducted by the American Psychological Association that is somewhat similar to this NPR poll. And they claim that our stress level on average is going down somewhat, slightly, over the last several years. But we're still a very stressed-out nation. Veronica mentioned at the outset that almost half, 49% of this survey by NPR, report at least one major stressful event in the past year. Again, that was tend to be focused on health issues, death of a loved one. But overall, not just one stressful event, but sort of average across the year stressful responses, we have a lot, a pretty high percentage of people say that they're stressed by a whole series of things. One of the really notable results in this NPR survey is the gender difference, with a substantially higher stress response from women than men across 10 different categories of sources of stress. 9 out of 10 were higher, self-reported, of course, but 9 out of 10 were higher with women than with men. That's an important number, I think. It's interesting that women on average tend to outlive men by several years. So it's interesting that they are also reporting higher levels of stress. And so that raises a whole lot of interesting health questions about, longevity and the role of stress in our lives. Is stress all that negative or what?
Yeah, lots and lots of things to think about. I want to talk about that self-reporting element of it for a second. I haven't seen the survey question, so I don't know how they were written or anything. But it seems to me that if people are self-reporting this, everybody has a different threshold for stress, and they perceive stress in different ways and stressful events and so forth. Does your survey account for that, or how do you get at the nub of what really is stressful?
Well, that's a really good point, Gene. It is perception. And one group may have a kind of different perception of what stress is and what extreme stress is than another group. And it's very difficult to control that in surveys. If they went in and physiologically measured stress, some of the things that occur when you're stressed out are things like a fast heartbeat, a headache, stiff neck, tight shoulders, back pain, fast breathing, sweating, upset stomach, etc. If we measured that physiologically in the respondents, in response to questions about certain potentially stressful events, we might be getting closer to the reality of the stress response. But your point that it's perception is absolutely true. its perception and your perception of a particular, let's say, the loss of a loved one, your perception of the stress there might be different than my perception of the stress.
Yeah, in fact, the survey, I think it was 1 in 7 people, maybe something like that, reported that they didn't have any stressful events. And I remember reading that and I'm like, are you kidding? You know, I mean, really? But that's what they say, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, there are people like that. You know, I study these kind of people. They're the thrill seekers and the risk takers. To them, you know, many stressful events are actually, they just turn it around and it becomes an exciting event. So was Evel Knievel a victim of stress? No. He enjoyed and was excited and thrilled by his death-defying stunts. And so, you know, people like that turn stress on its head and it becomes something more positive and motivating and exciting. But most people don't do that. Most people are stressed in the usual way. The Evel Knievels of this world are unusual, but, you know, the number that was reported here was 1 in 7. You're correct. And that's a substantial number of people.
We've only got about a minute left before we have to take some time out for news. But for the people who did report those major stress events, not surprisingly, I guess, a lot of it's related to health, either their health or the health of a friend or a loved one.
That's correct. But one of the really interesting things, aside from that, is too many responsibilities.
Mm.
That occurred over and over again in different age groups, and particularly younger age groups, the kind of multitasking phenomenon. And, you know, we're in the age of multitasking, and we're in the multitasking millennium, and a lot of people are reporting stress due to too many responsibilities.
All right, that's a good place to leave it before we go to the news. We're talking to psychologist Frank Farley right now about the new poll on stress in the United States. It's a new poll that's been conducted by NPR, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the Harvard School of Public Health.
We're taking your calls after the news. Are you surprised to hear so many Americans are feeling stressed? What about you? What is stressing you out, and how do you deal with your stress? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell. News is coming up next, right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our conversation with psychologist Frank Farley about stress in the United States.
And we're taking your calls now. Are you surprised to hear that so many Americans are stressed? And what is stressing you out? How do you deal with your stress? Or are you stress-free and loving it? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email, talk@wpr.org. And a question I have here, we right before the break, we were talking a little bit about this idea of too many responsibilities, and we also talked a little bit about health concerns causing stress. Frank Farley, what else causes stress for the Americans that you surveyed?
Overall, you know, sort of stress over time, that three factors that this NPR survey found were the following. Too many responsibilities. I had mentioned that earlier. I interpret that as the multitasking effect. Too many responsibilities, financial troubles, and work problems. The latter two, financial troubles and work problems, have consistently come up in prior stress surveys, and they still are near the top. The multitasking, too many responsibilities, that hasn't shown up as one of the top ones so frequently in the past, but it clearly is in the top group in this survey.
One of the things that we've mentioned a little bit in passing more than anything is this idea that the American aspect of it. Is there anything to that? Do you think we're under more stress or think we're under more stress than other parts of the world?
I don't know about that. We don't have a whole lot of international research that's valid research for such comparisons. The NPR study is strictly an American survey. The American Psychological Association surveys that they do every year, that's American. So it is hard to know. I mean, we are an extremely fast-paced culture. I don't think there's much doubt about that. I mean, here's one statistic for you. I believe that the current ratio, the total number of automobiles per capita in America, is still higher than any other nation in the world. So that sort of bespeaks the fact that we're a nation on the move, doing things, getting out there, you know, pushing the envelope, whatever, however you want to think about it. And we're a nation that is involved in change. We're constantly, if you think about the digital age, most of the inventiveness associated with the digital age is American. And so we're a nation that's always changing, and uncertainty and change can be huge sources of stress. You know, the unknown, uncertainty, you don't know what's going to happen, that can be a big source of stress. So I would project that maybe America is potentially more stressed out than other nations, but I don't have definitive data on that.
Well, we've got lots of listeners who would like to join in, so let's hear what they've got to say, and we begin with Chris, who joins us from Madison. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for this program. I have an interesting perspective, including because I've just moved back after living in Europe for 13 years, and the difference in cultures between working to live and living to work. You know, in America, I think with the less holidays, there's much more of a culture of living to work, including with the financial pressures. And what I find fascinating, and I've used it in my own life, is mindfulness. And I was really surprised when I saw that mindfulness made the cover of Time magazine. And I think people, and I have friends who've done the same, and I'm working to teach my own kids how to use mindfulness meditation as a tool to find one center again when the stresses of life swirl around you. Kind of like finding the eye of the hurricane.
Chris, that's a very interesting perspective. Frank Farley, what about that? Does that get back to that whole perception of stress, or is there something more that she is talking about there?
Well, it certainly gets to the perception of stress. It brings in, bringing in mindfulness in at this time is very appropriate. Mindfulness is a widely popular tool. Meditation is also, and mindfulness meditation is. Some of the best research in the world is done in Madison, Wisconsin by Dr. Richard Davidson, who's been studying meditation, mindfulness, empathy, and so on in terms of brain processes. You know, he said people like the Dalai Lama come to Madison and submit to MRI technology in Davidson's laboratory. But yes, mindfulness, meditation, relaxation techniques, these are all very desirable ways of approaching stress.
Annette joins us now, and Annette is in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I am great. How are you? Stress-free, I think.
Yes, I am. I was going to mention to your man there that I don't have stress. I believe it's how you perceive life. And stressful people, I think, tend to live a more negative style life. I kind of try to sail through life. I don't let things get me down. If it's something I have no control over, I'm not going to let it get attached to me unless I can do something about it.
So Annette, that works for you, but I have to ask you sometimes, I mean, sometimes you have to be facing, you know, a difficult work situation or a personal situation or a financial situation, and even then, you don't let the stress get to you.
No, I don't. I absolutely do not. I can't live my life like that. it's kind of like my mom used to say, you know, if you sit and worry, it's like sitting in a rocking chair. You know, you do a lot of moving, but you don't go anywhere.
Annette, thanks so much for that, Frank Farley. There's one of the 1 in 7 that we were talking about earlier.
That's right. Annette is one of the 1 in 7. Well, you know, a song that has a huge impact on my life is that wonderful Monty Python song, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. And, you know, it's positive psychology, looking on the positive side, looking on the bright side. And, you know, that is the solution to a lot of stress. One of the things in my field, psychology, is we have tended to focus too much on the negative side of life in the past. And increasingly, going forward in psychology, we're trying to get people to focus more on the positive side of life. And that can be a great antidote to stress.
Let's take time for another phone call here, and Ralph joins us from Little Swamco.
Yes, I have one of the 1 in 7. So you're getting a lot of 1 in 7s, maybe because we're so unstressed that we can call up. I'm not sure. But I guess it depends, like, your definition of stress, because, like, I have sorrow if someone in my family is going through a difficult time, or I've lost a loved one. I'm going to have sorrow, but I don't have any stress associated with that. And sometimes it concerns me because I think I come off to other people as not caring as much. You know, someone that's just totally tore up and stressed out about it, they give the appearance that they care, and someone that handles the stress, they give the appearance that they don't care. So, you know, I guess I'm asking your guests if they've looked into that at all, and I don't know what I can do about it other than not worry about it and not get stressed about it.
There you go, Ralph. Thanks for that. Frank Farley, interesting point there. At what point does that lack of stress translate to other people as sort of a lack of sympathy or empathy or caring?
Yeah, it can. That is true. But, you know, in a sense, you got to be true to yourself and not jerk your personality around just to appear to be stressed out by something. You know, you can be deeply moved, deeply concerned, deeply empathic, but you don't have to sort of show, you know, extreme stressful responses just to show them. I think that the way Ralph is handling it sounds right to me, you know, and he's just being true to himself.
One of the things we haven't talked about yet is what the implications of some of these numbers are. You talked about, you know, the gender gap and just sort of the sheer numbers of people who have stress in their life. And in the field you're in, that has to mean something. Those numbers have to mean something. I'm not sure what it is. So as you look at them, what do you think?
Well, you know, my field is booming. Psychology is booming. Therapy is booming. There's growing evidence that therapy works and can really help people who are just stressed out. But, you know, it just bespeaks that we have a lot of stress out there. It's the only way to look at it. And but there are ways to deal with it. And one should not let one's stress destroy your life. That's, I think, the take-home message.
Well, that is a great place to leave it. Frank, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Frank Farley, a psychologist at Temple University and former president of the American Psychological Association.